You already know, man. We're gonna get right into it with the NFL. I'm gonna start off with the first one because this is your team. You know, they spent your money. Dak Prescott, 4 years, 160 million. What you gotta say about that? How do you feel about that signing?
Like I've been saying the whole time since it happened, man, they should have paid him cupcakes and honey buns, man. I knew you were gonna start off with this topic, but I wasn't too excited at first. I knew you would set me up, but that's how I feel about it, man. I don't think he's worth that much money. I don't think he's worth that much money, man. I understand him being a leader and the locker room stuff and all that, and you know. That's what America's going towards nowadays, you know. It's not about true performing and if you're good at your job or not. It's just about the politics for it, you know.
That's all it is. I mean, I seen y'all
sign. Be a nice guy in the locker room.
Yeah, he's a cool guy in the locker room, but y'all got some needs to fill. You know, you cut Alden Smith, you sign a handful of people in free agency on some small contracts like every other team has in the league. So, I mean... Yeah. The one that shocked me the most was with cutting Aldon Smith after 1 year. I mean, I thought he played well after not playing for so long. I thought he played pretty well. I don't know how
true,
you feel about it.
Well, true, but he played for the ex-defensive coordinator back in San Francisco. And so, you know, it was a trust thing there, you know, get this guy another chance type of thing. But now a new defensive coordinator comes in with a new scheme, and he's like, where do he fit in with us? He don't. So, you know, let's move him.
Okay.
So that's just, you know, once again, it ain't about performance. It's about, you know, politics and who people like.
That's true. Some other big signings I seen, Corey Davis going from the Titans to the Jets. Jets finally get a true number one receiver. I think a true number one receiver. You know, him and AJ Brown matched up well with Tennessee. And then, you know, he goes to New York, and he's their number one guy. So, I mean, I noticed when he played with Tennessee, if he wasn't having a game, A.J. Brown was definitely having a game, you know, 150, two TDs, whatever. But if A.J. Brown wasn't getting looked at, then Corey Davis was definitely getting all the hype. So, I mean, like, I feel like that's definitely going to help him out in New York. Like, he's going to be getting all the attention, especially with Denzel Mims, who they think is their – their true number one, but I really think Corey is their guy, I think.
Yeah, I see that as a good pickup, but it's the Giants. I'm not too much worried about the Giants. It's the Giants. Now, one person that they re-signed that I'm wish that, you know, he would have came out on the open market. I don't know if he did or not, but I don't see there's no reason why he would re-sign with the Giants if he did. But Leonard Williams, you know,
Giants.
I think, you know,
I was talking about the Jets, man.
Oh, my fault. When you said New York, I'm thinking like
you're right.
You're talking about
the Giants. Right. Hey, you know what? When you think of New York, you just think of one shitty team. Of course, it's obviously gonna be the Giants, but you gotta think about the Jets, man. Come on now.
Oh, that's the New York team you're talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, they still there?
Yeah, they're still there. Surprisingly.
Uh-oh. I didn't know. Well, that's an even worse move going there and being with the Jets. So who's gonna throw him the ball? So
right, yeah, Sam Darnold. They think they're gonna trade him. He's still on the roster. They're definitely taking Zach Wilson. Like that's not a question at all. Like
how you know? You working in front office?
I wish I was because I wouldn't take him. Me personally, I don't think he's that good. But everybody's saying Jets are going to take Wilson. But even if they do take Wilson and you can't trade Sam Darnold, he's going to be on your roster. Both of them going to be fighting for a number one spot. But if they do decide to start the rookie, you always got Sam Darnold. Which, I mean, I think he has some untapped potential in him. But you look at the teams he's had since he's been with the Jets. He has had no O-line, no true weapons for him. He's got Frank Gore out of any running back in the league he could have had. He has Frank Gore as his number one back. So it's like he ain't built around him. You just been giving him mediocre players. You ain't give him something to work with. So you want to take a QB, fresh start for Robert Saleh and his staff. I still think you can still try and give Sam a chance. I think so. I don't know how you feel about Sam Darnold.
Well, I see it two ways. I see it like you see it too. You know, they put a lot around him to be successful. And you even had people on defense trying to get up out, you know, of New York. So, I mean, I get it. But at the end of the day, he's still getting paid.
Well, I mean, he's still on his rookie contract.
Well, I mean, that's why, you know, you can get another guy. You can draft another guy, try to get some value from Sam, but it's going to look real bad that you bring this rookie in, let this rookie get beat up because he don't really have the tools around him to be successful. And then Sam goes somewhere else and you know, it's successful.
Yeah.
That ain't going to look good for the Jets. And plus, it's the Jets.
Very true. Speaking of Leonard Williams, you were just talking about him. He did re-sign with the Giants, 3-year, $63 million deal. I honestly thought he was going to hit the open market, maybe get a little bit more money. Clearly, he likes being in New York, so he stayed there with them. I don't know. He probably is their best defensive player, so, I mean, I don't know. Probably looks good on selling tickets, maybe. I don't know. If they're going to have fans, who knows?
Yeah. That right there just kind of bothered me, knowing that we were probably going to need some D linemen. I wanted him to kind of hit the market.
Same here, too. I was hoping to hit the market, too.
Well, what? He ain't going to go to Oakland?
We ain't in Oakland. We ain't in Vegas.
Oh, that's
the city that never sleeps.
I keep forgetting.
Don't be hating now. Don't be hating now. You know, you got Shaq Barrett. He re-signed with the Bucks, 4 years, $72 million. He's staying with the – they trying to go back-to-back. They retained, I think, all of their starting players on both sides of the ball. Brady restructured his contract to free up – it was like $19 million or something like that. So, I mean, they were making moves. Allen Robinson signed his franchise tag with the Bears. I don't know why. He could have went elsewhere and got paid number one receiver money. But yeah, you decided to stay with the Bears.
No, he got franchise tag.
Well, he did get franchise tag and he signed it, but he didn't have to sign it. At first he wasn't going to, but he eventually did. Mitch Trubisky goes signs with the Bills. You bring Andy Dalton at any quarterback to try and compete for the starting job. You bring in Andy Dalton.
What are you talking about?
What do you mean, what am I talking about? Andy Dalton is washed up.
Like I told you with the Cowboys.
What'd you tell me?
He knew no more or no less than what Dak Prescott would have done.
Exactly.
Show me. He ain't going to do no more, no less. So if Dak Prescott is getting paid this much money, pay him.
He got paid 1 year, like $10 million, just to come and
1 year, $10 million to prove yourself. I would have took that.
They could have got any other quarterback. They could have tried to push for Deshaun. They could have traded for Marcus Mariota. They could even try to trade for Sam Darnold. They could have got anybody else in the league, and you got Andy Dalton.
Okay. Let's go down this road, okay?
Okay, let's go.
Some teams traditionally win games a certain way, like the Ravens. The Ravens are always going to have a hard-nosed defense. That's their identity.
Exactly.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers, when they got their Tampa 2 flowing the right way, it's their staple defense, no matter what coach comes in. It's certain teams that just have an identity. The Bears won the Super Bowl. Every Super Bowl they done won, they didn't have a big-name quarterback. They had a guy that could get the job done. So them going against these big-name guys and all that, it get too cold in Chicago.
Yeah, you ain't balling out unless you Jay Cutler.
Exactly. It's not like Green Bay where you got a steel cold. You know how that wind come off that lake in Chicago.
Yeah.
It's a totally different monster. Run the ball, play great D. Just their identity. They can bring in all these big name quarterbacks and they ain't gonna do nothing for them.
At least help them out. Do something. I mean, they made the playoffs with a solid defense and a mediocre quarterback. So, I mean, I figure, you know, bring somebody in there who knows how to get it done, but clearly not.
Get a good O-line, get a good running back, hand the ball off, put more people in the box, go over the top of the box. It's a real simple formula in Chicago. But I'm happy they're not getting back to that. So, it's a win-win for me.
I guess so. Joe Thuney, the number one offensive guard free agency, signs with the Chiefs on a 5-year, $80 million deal. I was upset, you know, that he signed with them, but clearly the Chiefs need to protect their quarterback after the catastrophe that they had in the bowl. So honestly, I didn't like it, you know, me personally, just because it's the Chiefs. Clearly, I don't like anything that goes on with them, irregardless of what it is. So, yeah, they're trying to protect the quarterback, clearly, because of what happened. I mean, the man ran for over 1,000 yards just trying to throw the damn football. Simple as that. So, and then they signed Kyle Long, you know, after he left Vegas without getting the deal, and goes to the Chiefs. He thought it was more...
What did I tell you was going to happen?
It is what it is. I guess he just didn't want to fit in his daddy's shoes, but clearly not. So,
he didn't want to fit in his daddy's shoes.
He didn't want to live up to the name. It must have been too much pressure for him. That's why he left.
I'm not finna comment on that. I'm gonna listen.
Oh man, then you got Hunter Henry cashing out, gonna go sign with the Patriots, 3 years, $37 million. Honestly, I thought he was gonna stay with the Chargers. What's his name? I always forget his name. Quarterback. Justin Herbert, give him another weapon. But instead, you know, he leaves. They signed Jared Cook. I think it was like a 1-year, like $7 million deal. So, I mean, Jared Cook still got some juice left in the tank. I mean, he's been all around the league his whole career. So, I mean.
Yeah, but this one is a no-brainer, bro. You're a tight end in the NFL. Who do you want to go and play for?
Bill Belichick, I guess.
Come on, man. That man makes tight ends.
Yeah, but he ain't got no quarterback.
Cam got to camp late last year. And look how he started off the season. When the playbook was thin, Cam did good. When they started opening up the playbook is when Cam started struggling. Those play calls,
it takes a lot of things.
I'm not giving him no excuses, but I'm saying
he is washed up. There ain't nothing around it. He is washed up, Doty. He hit his peak after the bowl against the Broncos. He hit his peak.
Let me ask you this, right? You play receiver. You know what I'm saying? We done split you out a couple of times when I was coaching you, right?
Yeah.
When you was running your route and you turned your head around to find a quarterback, could you find it?
Shit, no.
Because he was too short.
You can't go tight.
If you could go tight, guess how tall I would be. Come on, man. You can't go tight, man. Lying. And when you catching the football from a quarterback to where he's like a lighthouse,
it's a totally
different game, bro. Cam just needs more weapons. He's not a Brady. So you can't do some of the same things. But Cam, if you notice Cam's success when he was with Carolina, is when he had a tight end.
Yeah,
he had a number one receiver. And his number one receiver was short. Steve Smith was short. So, give him a chance to get some good tight ends to where now he can throw in the box a lot, get them one-on-one coverages to the outside, and now he can start letting guys do what they do best. Be one-on-one
and now you can make easier throws. But right now, when you got linebackers putting hands on tight ends, you got a safety staying over top, it's a lot of help over the top with coverage. What are you going to do? Tuck and run. So I can see where Bill Belichick kept him, then signed him to a long-term contract. Well, say, man, we'll give you a second chance because he did see some positives. But don't get it twisted. Bill will probably take a quarterback early in this draft.
Hey, they was at Mac Jones' pro day, and Bill didn't look too happy about it. But, you know, there's still quite a few quarterbacks. Trey Lance, Justin Fields.
Think about it. If Bill Belichick would have been like, oh, God, I love him. Everybody in the NFL be trying to trade up to get this guy because Bill did that. Bill got to look mad.
He always look mad. There ain't never a time when Bill is happy.
Yes, he is after Super Bowls.
I guess so. I mean, they signed a bunch. They signed Judon. They signed Jalen Mills. Signed a bunch of other deep players. You know, the first three picks in the draft are gonna be quarterbacks. San Fran got the third pick. They're definitely taking a quarterback. Don't know why, because they got Jimmy G. I mean, he's average, but clearly they might want something a little younger. But the draft starts on the fourth pick. Everybody knows that. The fourth pick is when the draft really starts. Atlanta might even take a quarterback. Matt Ryan, you know, he's on the downhill. I mean, you never know.
Well, could, man. I'm be honest with you, okay? If you ain't got a mobile quarterback, I don't think you can do too much. And Jimmy G, yeah, he mobile. But if you touch him, He breaks.
He's so fragile. So fragile.
So the way the NFL is starting to transition to the college game now, with a lot of the zone reads and people like Lamar Jackson running the ball, and it's changing. So I can see why you keep Cam. No, I don't see them drafting. I see them drafting another quarterback because of the scheme they want to run compared to the scheme that they have to run with Jimmy.
Very true. Very true. Who else signed around? You know, Carl Lawson, another edge rusher. He signed with the Jets. I didn't even know who he was until he signed. I never heard of him. But I guess he's been locked up in Cincinnati, not doing too much.
Name a player from Cincinnati right now.
Besides Joe Burrow? Joe Mixon, Giovanni Bernard, and that's all I can really tell you. Who's their coach? I don't even know.
Because they're not relevant.
It ain't Marvin Lewis, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, they're not relevant. So I can see why you would want to leave Cincinnati. Think about it. Ohio State got more pull than them.
That's true. That is true. Aaron Jones, another big back in the league. He re-signed with Green Bay. Me personally,
I think that's huge.
It is huge because, you know, they got 1-2 punch with him and A.J. Dillon.
Yeah.
I'm sure he had other offers because he could have went anywhere else and been a number one back, whoever needed
him. Yeah. But I think he understands what he have in the quarterback he have in the offensive line.
That's very true.
So I can see why he stayed there for business reasons because at 4 years, $48 million, man, I would have tried to get to that 55 mark. Say, this might, because he's 26 right now. So the next time he's signed, he's going to be around age 30. Those is when backs don't get big contracts again. So I don't see. He got paid.
The one receiver who was floating around who was going to go many places, Juju, everybody was looking at him. Ravens, Steelers are obviously, the Raiders, the Jets, and, you know, a bunch of other teams. Me personally, I thought he was going to go to the Jets. Still young. He's only 24. Could have gone anywhere and got a big contract. Stays with Pittsburgh, 1 year, $8 million. Probably, I guess, basically a a prove it contract because he didn't really have that. He really hasn't had his numbers the past 2 years. Big Ben's coming back. So, I mean, I don't know. It was an interest. It was a, yeah, I guess you could say an interesting signing because I didn't think he was going to stay, honestly. But
I didn't see him going nowhere else. I didn't see him going nowhere
else. I saw him going to the Jets.
Mm-mm.
Another edge rusher? Well, my bad. Go ahead.
If he would have went to the Jets, it would have been a done deal. His career would have been over. It'd have been done. So stay in there. Stay with Big Ben. Stay with a team that got a good running game. Who's going to always try to run the ball first, open up the pass game. They play great D every single year, you know. Tomlinson is you know, one of those coaches who, if you even start off bad, he'll go on some kind of run to get to the playoffs.
Yeah.
So I can see the reason why he stayed. Now, he just needs to stop doing crazy stuff, focus on playing football. I think they're punishing him for two reasons. The stuff he done last year, and they sacrificed Antonio to bring him in.
That's true also.
You know what I'm saying? They let him go to make him the number one. And then you go out there and you lay Easter eggs like Easter Bunny, like he did.
Another edge rusher coming off the market, Yannick Ngakoue from the Ravens, signing with, you already know, the Raiders. 2 year, $26 million deal. Top tier edge rusher coming off the market. Honestly, I had no clue we were going to get this guy. When he was with Jacksonville, he wanted out, gets traded to the Vikings, doing his thing. Then gets traded to Baltimore. What was it, like mid-season? Falls out with Baltimore. I didn't even expect we was going to sign him. I'm going to be honest with you. I thought we were going to get draft somebody. That's what everybody kept saying. That's what I thought we were going to do. But if you look at that contract and the money that Nelson Agholor got,
mm-hmm.
Agholor had a productive year. I mean, he didn't hit 1,000 yards. I mean, he did have a pretty good season with us. It was basically a bounce-back year for him being in Philly, mm-hmm. you know, trying – get somewhere, which, I mean, hey, good for him. He balled out, got your money, but 13 mil was a little high. I'd rather have him. That's 13 mil a year right there. I'd rather have a premier edge rusher when we already got some. I mean, we already got a number one receiver. I mean, that's Darren Waller. He ain't a receiver, but he played like a receiver. So, I mean, he's our number one receiver. Simple as that. But we got some young guys in the wide receiver room who are good. So I'd rather take that premier edge rusher for 13 mil than Nelson Agholor for 13 mil. Just simple as that. I don't know how you feel about that because you don't seem too happy.
What team we talking about?
Oh, you know what team we talking about?
It really don't matter. Nothing yeah, you talking does. About because they got no way to mess it up.
They ain't going to mess it up, man.
It's Leon. Y'all not going to beat Kansas City.
Yeah, we are.
So this edge rusher really ain't going to matter.
The edge rusher played for our DC, Gus Bradley. New DC, by the way. You know, he another played in his system in Jacksonville.
Another politics move. Another politics
no,
move.
No, that's so. Straight. That's straight. That's a straight football move.
It's not a straight football move. You had a chance to go to other places, and you choose the Raiders because your defensive coordinator that you probably had a little bit of success with is out there now, so you up and leave and go there.
Yeah.
It's not. No, you want to be coached.
That's a football move. He is going to be great. He is going to football. Be great. He's going to be great for us. That's a promise. That is a promise, Doty.
Okay.
You know, a couple corners came off the market. Desmond King, he got traded to the Titans. He's going to Houston. 1 year, $3.5 million. A lot of these contracts are like 1 year, $5 million, $3.5 million, $10 million. You know, very, very small because, you know, cap space shrunk a lot because of, you know, COVID. So, I mean, a lot of these deals are real small, you know. Some of these players are pretty good and they're taking major pay cuts, staying for their teams or going elsewhere, you know, just get a prove it contract for the year after. So I mean, it's a bit interesting, you know. There's still a lot of good players on the market, a lot of DBs on the market. That's like the one thing, but it's been real slow. That first week when free agency started was real slow. I mean, the first 2 days obviously pop because, you know, everybody's trying to get who they want real quick. Yeah. But day 3 to like 7 was slow, real slow. Yeah.
Well, I really think for the DB position, I think it's a lot of good corners coming out of college now that's more ready for some of the route combinations and some of the things the receivers do with now.
Yeah,
in the NFL. True. A lot of the older corners are, you know, I'm not going to say are outdated, but it's a lot of things that they have already, you know, perfected in their games. And now since the game is kind of making that transition, you know, slowly into more, it's been a passing game, but you're starting to see more elaborate route combinations and releases. And so I think the younger guys have an open hand coming out of college, you know.
Yeah.
Coverage skills. So I can see that, but I think once the draft hits, I think you're going to start seeing corners get picked up left and right.
Oh, yeah. If the team's not getting a DB they want, be like, all right, he somewhat fits our scheme. Let's put him in here. I mean, I can see that happening too.
Yeah. And if I'm not mistaken, traditionally, DBs always come off the board late in free agency. It's not too many of them to get picked up right now.
Well, usually the elite or really good ones get picked up early, but then ones that the late bloomers that, you know, fit certain schemes usually get picked up late. So I can see that happening, but man, let's keep it moving, man. We got, you know what we got next? The NCAA March Madness bracket. It is coming to a close. Tomorrow is the championship game. It has been a crazy tournament, man. This one is by far, I think.
Hey, not to cut you off, man. I've been meaning to ask you, where have Kansas been in this tournament?
You know, we went 1-1 this year. You know, lost in the second round. You know, nothing to.
Who'd y'all lose to?
We lost to USC by 30 points. But let me ask you something. What happened to Texas?
What you mean? What happened to Texas?
What happened to Texas? Texas, you lost to Abilene Christian in the first round.
Yeah. There's no excuse for that. They lost, you know, Abilene Christian. No excuse. But I don't think Shaka Smart rode the plane back home.
Nah, he went to Marquette.
Went to Marquette right after the game. Because he know you don't come back to Texas.
Oh, man.
Lost like that. That's no ACU.
You know, UCLA shock in the first round. Oregon got a freebie. Didn't have to play VCU because of COVID, so they got a freebie. Some other crazy games. Ohio beating Virginia 12-4. Honestly, I think Creighton should have lost. UCSB had them. They had them right there. I was watching the game. I think there was at least like 5 seconds left. They drive it down.
They should have lost.
No, they should have won. I'm sorry. Literally, big man coming down the lane, dish it, wide open layup. Like I mean, there was a guy in front of him, but like easily an easy bucket, like to go up by one, and he misses it. So, I don't know if it was he just missed a shot or if Creighton was just supposed to win that game, but clearly they won. Nope. One that blew me out the water, I didn't think Oral Roberts was going to beat Ohio State. I did not see that one at all.
Shout out to my ex-assistant coach, Dave Neblack, after, you know, coaching at Oral Roberts first year there. Very proud of that young man, you know.
That was a huge win for them. Huge win. You know, Baylor dominating as always. North Texas beating Purdue. That was a great game. North Texas played their cards right. Beat a 4 team. Loyola Chicago keeping it going. Oregon State, I did not expect them to beat Tennessee. I really thought Tennessee was going to roll the dice, but Oregon State clearly came to play. Syracuse, they were a little surprising too in the beginning. I didn't think they was going to be ready to go. And then, you know, second round, UCLA still dominating, beat Abilene Christian. USC beating Kansas, you know. Another shocker. I didn't think Oregon was going to beat Iowa. I really thought Iowa was going to make it at least in the Final Four. I mean, they're a really good team, especially with Luka Garza. Dude, it's crazy. He literally had majority of the points in that Oregon game. 36 points.
Yes. I'm a Luka fan. I like Luka.
Yeah. He was played great. Just, you know, clearly Oregon was a better team that game.
Mm-hmm.
Oral Roberts beating Florida. Florida and whoever they played, I forgot. That was a close game, too. And then, you know, Oral Roberts beating Florida by 3 in the last couple seconds. Arkansas beating Texas Tech. I thought Tech was going to win that game.
No, not Tech.
It was a close. I mean, Tech's had their fair share of good teams. But I thought, you know, they were right there to beat Arkansas. They just couldn't get it done. And, you know, nobody was going to think Loyola Chicago was going to beat, you know, Illinois after running the table in their conference tournament and then having some big momentum. I honestly didn't think Loyola Chicago was going to make it out of the first round. In my opinion. I didn't expect them to get to the Sweet 16. Oregon State beating Oklahoma State. Syracuse beating number 3 West Virginia. That boy Buddy Boeheim. He's a good basketball player. I'll tell you that much.
I agree with you.
Man, him and his dad, man, they was running that table for a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, Michigan beating Florida State. UCLA, 11, still running the table, beating number 2 Alabama. Gonzaga, you know, doing their thing. Arkansas, Baylor, you know. Oregon State beating Loyola Chicago. Houston beating Syracuse. And then, you know, you got Elite 8, UCLA, Michigan. Did not expect them to beat Michigan, you know. I thought Juwan Howard was going to coach his team up a little better. Clearly, they didn't perform to their own expectations, only scoring 49 points in a game. But clearly, UCLA came to play this tournament. You know, Gonzaga beating USC, Baylor beating Arkansas, Houston barely beating Oregon State. And then you had your Final Four yesterday. Two good games. I honestly thought Houston was going to put up a better fight against Baylor. But clearly, Houston... They clearly wasn't ready for an actual team. You know, honestly, I don't think they played any really good teams, you know, in their past. The only real good team they played, I think, was maybe Syracuse and Rutgers. Rutgers almost beat them. Houston barely won by 3. I thought Syracuse was going to play a little better against them. But then, you know, they get to the Final Four and, you know, Baylor just runs the table on them. They just like, you know what, this is it. Straight shots, the championship. And they're in it. You know, I honestly really thought Baylor wasn't going to get this far. Every time Baylor has a really good team, they make it to the Sweet 16 and then, you know, they're out. It's been like that for like the past 7-8 years.
Yeah.
When they've been up there with KU at the 1-2 spot. In the Big 12. Yeah, and I always think, like, right. man, Baylor may got, they got, I think they got a shot this year, but then, you know, come out. But I think they finally got their formula down and look where they're at now in the championship playing undefeated Gonzaga, who miraculously won last night at a really, man, that was a really good basketball game. Just a back and forth. UCLA being 11 seed, nobody thought they were going to be that close in that game. Like, they were literally, if Baylor took three steps forward, UCLA was coming right back, right behind them. I mean, the biggest lead between any team was like 5 points. And then that gap was closed like within a minute or less than that. And it was a crazy game, man. Both teams balled out. The forward, Timmy from Gonzaga, played his tail off, played a great game. UCLA, their whole team was in it. It just wasn't one guy. That was a whole team effort in that game. And honestly, it came down to the wire. And, you know, Gonzaga put up a prayer. They made it, and now they're in the championship, still undefeated. So, I mean, what you got for this whole tournament, you know, and the final four games?
Man, it was an okay tournament, you know. It has, you know, like any other, you know, say March Madness tournament, it's had its ups and its downs, you know, surprises. Yeah. What made it all worthwhile was last night, the last game. That made it all worthwhile because that came right there. I didn't want it to end. I honestly, I mean, you know, you got to give him props for hitting that shot. I don't know why UCLA did stop ball early in that situation. Stop ball early. But they didn't. They let him get, you know, saying somewhere, you know, on the other side of the court to where he could have a good shot. Because if you've seen it, it wasn't a Hail Mary.
It was just, you know.
Got up, elevated, released, and he knew it when it left his hand. His reaction let you know, man, it's good.
This game.
Yeah. So, man, I was, man, amazed. I love that game. I wish
blown,
it would have ended.
Blown away by the ending. I thought it was gonna go into double overtime. Honestly.
Yeah. I did too. I honestly say. I can look at it like this. Gonzaga did enough to lose the game, and UCLA did enough to win the game. It just didn't happen like that.
Yeah, pretty much. Clearly undefeated, man. It's like it's right there. I mean, The last time Gonzaga played another number one team in the championship was when they played UNC 2017, and they fell short. So, I mean, this is like the matchup we've been waiting for like all year. Like, two of the best teams, undefeated Gonzaga, Baylor, pounding their way through the tournament. And we're going to see what happens tomorrow night, man. I feel like it's going to be a close game. Like it was last night with UCLA. I feel like it's just going to go back and forth. You don't think so? What do you think?
I don't think so.
You think Baylor is going to come out and storm it?
Yes, because the one thing UCLA had problems with was the inside play. Baylor plays physical. And I think that's what's going to be the difference. I think that's what kept UCLA in this game is the physicality. Because UCLA played physical with Gonzaga. Gonzaga weren't used to that. And they weren't used to nobody playing with them for that long. So I think Baylor is built to just have physicality. Just, you know, just be more physical than them. Make sure your sweat is on their jersey.
That's true. But Gonzaga can score not only in the paint, because clearly there wasn't a lot of three-point shots last night that were going in. I mean, they were shooting a lot of threes, but there was only, like, a handful going in. It was more of, like, you know, this is going to be a battle in the paint. That's all it was last night.
Yeah, mid-range
shot and in the paint. But when Gonzaga gets hot on that three-point or outside range, they get it rolling. So, I mean, if it ain't working one way, it's going to work another way, Doty. So, Me personally, it's gonna be another close, good game, and it's gonna come down to the wire. It's gonna see who makes the smarter decision and who makes the better shot.
You're right. I don't think Gonzaga done played a physical team like Baylor all year. That's just me. I don't think they conference.
They played one last night, and they barely snuck it. But
and they
they barely won. And Baylor is a totally different team than UCLA.
Exactly. Now remember, right? That conference out there is more of a technician fundamental conference.
True.
The Big 12 is about physicality. And so every year Gonzaga always get a cakewalk through their conference. They dominate their conference. They do that. So that's why they always gonna be consistently good. It's like the Patriots in the NFC East. The Bills just got good. Miami is Miami. And the Jets.
They're the Jets.
So you got to always expect them to go to the playoffs. The Bills just so happen to be good this year, and the Patriots don't go because they have a down year. Hey, but I think Gonzaga, they're not ready for this physicality. Now, like you said, if the three-point ball is falling, that's going to make Baylor have to change the defensive scheme, and it's going to be a lot of one-on-one situations down low.
Exactly.
And, hey, then I think it's going to be a close game. But if not, I don't think Gonzaga is ready for the physicality on both ends of the floor.
Let's look at – I want to go back a couple years. I believe it was 2018. It was when KU played Villanova in the Final Four. KU – can't remember who they beat in the Elite Eight, you know. I think it was – I can't remember who it was. We beat them bad. It was like 90 to like 79, something like that. And Villanova was like a four or a five seed. They still had some good players from their previous year of winning that championship, but they didn't have – they just had some newer guys. And I honestly thought, man, cakewalk for KU. Villanova came in literally first 5 minutes lighting that three-point line. It was like 20 to like six, like within minutes of the game. So, I mean, I know Gonzaga can't underestimate Baylor, but Baylor can't do the same thing to Gonzaga because if one, like I said, one thing's not working, something else is going to start clicking and it's going to get dangerous. But then if they start holding that 3-point line, that paint going to start looking real nice for Timmy, going to have another 30 ball game. But, hey, it can go either way. It can go either way.
Timmy is good. I get that dude a lot of credit. He got a lot of ball skills. He got the feet work. It's like, man, for a big man, right? But I don't really think he's a true big man. No, I think on the college level he's a big man. But I think once he can start getting body, put some bodies on him. Bailey got a lot of bodies they can throw at.
He's real athletic in his skill. Like, he got the moves. Like, he got the moves, but, like, he ain't in there. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's not bodying people, like, getting the ball, like, being real aggressive on defense.
Now, it's sometimes on offense to where he'll square up, he'll, you know, get into folks and all that, but those are guys who is just about his size, so a little bit smaller. I don't think with Baylor, he's going to be able to do that. Baylor got a big team. You know, when them boys walk in the gym, you know they in that gym. They got a presence when they come in. So I'm not surprised Baylor there, and I picked them all year, so guess what I'm going to go with?
Going with Baylor. I honestly don't know who I want to pick. Like, it's going to be such a good game to where I don't know who I want to win. I mean, I definitely don't want Baylor to win because they're in the Big 12 Conference. I don't want Gonzaga to win because then they're going to be undefeated, greatest basketball team ever, blah, 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 blah. That's going to be the headliner all over ESPN and every news source on Tuesday morning. So it's like, I don't know who I want to win.
Yeah, you do. Yes, you do. Yes,
who?
You do.
Who do you think I want to win?
As your former running back coach, I hate to see you make bad decisions like this. It hurt me. That's not what. That's not the reason why I put you through all I put you through was for you to come out making bad decisions.
That's like true. This.
Come on, man. Put that green on, bro. Put that green and yellow on, man.
I don't know if I could do that.
Yeah, you can. You can do it for one day.
I don't know, Dodie.
Think about it. It'll make KU season look even better because the national championship team came out of work. The Big 12. It makes y'all look better.
Hey, I don't see it like that. I see it as, you know, they run the Big 12 now. It's not going to happen. Like I said way earlier in the year when KU was down bad and then, you know, they didn't really succeed later on down the road. It was a down year, man. It was a down year. Next year, hey, they loading up on offseason, man. Grad transfers, new freshmen coming in. They got a lot of good grad transfers. I know they got this big man, D2 All-American. Dude averages like 26 points a game, 10 rebounds. He's like 6'9", 250 or a little bit heavier. Dude can ball. Great pickup. They were contending for another guy. D1 AA, Brandon McKissick, great point guard. He averaged about 20 or more a game. Great assist. He committed to Florida. I was a little hurt about that because he would have definitely elevated the offense a little bit. But hey, KU will be back. Okay? You can say Baylor's going to run the show now, this and that, yada, yada, yada. You can have this moment. But the minute you lose, you know I'm going to be on your head that night. That you better answer my phone call if they lose. Because I know if you don't answer my phone call, because you know you don't want to hear from me, Dodie. I know you, Dodie.
What have I been telling you for the longest? Wichita State runs Kansas basketball.
No, they don't.
That's the new little brother on the block that's being big brother.
No. No, no.
The last time KU played Wichita State, who won?
Wichita State did.
I'm done.
Ah, man. Wichita State made the first four and didn't even get past the first four. No. They lost to Drake.
They did lose to Drake. Y'all, how much did they lose to Drake by?
It was only by like 2 or 3 points at most.
How much did y'all lose to USC by?
By 30. Oh, man, why you gotta do that to me, man? Why you gotta do that? It was an embarrassing game. USC was just a lot taller and bigger than us. I mean, literally, those two brothers just balled out. Just like them two white brothers on Eastern Washington, the Groves brothers. Dudes was balling. 30-piece, both of them. I was like, yo, we're in real trouble if we don't lock these dudes down for at least 5 minutes to let us catch up a little bit. I thought we was going to lose first round. I really thought we did. I was like, man, come on. Come on now. Yeah. We got past them. I was like, all right, bet. USC, we got a match with them. Clearly not. 30-point loss. 30-point loss.
Yeah. Hey. I hate you get your confidence up and everything come crashing down like that.
It ain't going to come crashing down. It's going to stay up high. It's going to stay up high. You feel me?
Nah.
Come on, man. You ain't got to be a hater like that.
I'm not a hater. It's just Baylor Burrs is going to win this night.
Baylor Burrs. Hey, we'll see what happens. Monday night, 8:30. It all comes down, man. One is going to stand. And I don't think it's going to be the Baylor Burrs. I'll tell you that.
The Baylor Bears.
Oh, man. You got it.
Hey, we can't end this. We can't end this. That's the reason why I'm glad we saved it for last. We can't end this without talking about UConn getting upset by Arizona.
Oh, the women's game.
Yes.
Okay, so I thought Baylor should have beat UConn. If you watch that game, that girl got fouled twice. She got hit in the head, then hit in the arm when she's attempting the shot, and they don't call a foul.
I agree.
Bro, agree. she's on the free throw line shooting two. Still got a game going.
I agree.
So you know what? I'm happy Arizona beat UConn. And she flipped the bird on them. I'm happy. Because UConn deserved that. They should have lost to Baylor. And you know what? Now look at Arizona. They're in the championship playing for a title.
Hey, I agree with you 100. I agree with you 100. But that game versus Baylor. Baylor actually won that game.
Yes. Yes.
It was a couple things down the stretch that happened. And Baylor just didn't execute, and they put themselves in a bad situation. They had them beat. Now, with the Arizona game, with the Baylor game, it was back and forth. It was like a tug of war. Arizona dominated the whole game.
Entirely. They had no chance. No chance at all.
Yeah. I come in, I'm rushing in, trying to get up and see the game, thinking it's going to be a close game. I'm like, man, they down by 10. Couldn't believe it. So I'm calling around the people, you know what I'm saying? Nobody's really even believing that this was even going to be a game. And when they find out that UConn is down, like, my phone started blowing up with text messages. Because it's like, no, man, it's no way. This can't be an April Fool's. Now dudes ain't April Fool's, man. This is for real.
This is legit.
This is legit. They're down by 10 and they finna go into halftime. And it's like, bruh, where did Arizona come from? Haven't been on my radar all year. I got a little cousin. She goes to college here, played in a tournament. I've been looking at certain teams and, okay, you know, these teams could possibly be trouble. These are the good teams, you know what I'm saying? I never looked at Arizona as a threat. Maybe I've been sleep on them. Maybe, you know, I wasn't paying attention, but man, they came out of nowhere.
Hey, we'll see what happens, man. They got Stanford today at 5:00 for the championship.
Number one
versus number three. So, I mean, we'll see if Arizona can keep that same energy. See if they can win the title, man. I mean,
it's not the teams that I thought it was going to be, but I'm very interested in seeing both of these teams play, because even that game was an upset with them upsetting South Carolina. You know, I know Stanford is good, but I was really thinking South Carolina had enough to push that game, you know, to take control of that game and win it the way they had been playing the last two games. But, you know, hey, Stanford pulled it off. So, gonna be interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. Man, you got anything else, man, to close this episode out?
Oh, man, happy Easter to everybody.
Yeah, man, happy Easter. The Lord has risen. He has redeemed himself. And, you know, redeem yourselves, go to church, pray. Say the Ten Commandments, you know. Get back in there. You know,
you gotta watch the Commandments today. You gotta watch the Ten Commandments today. Old school Ten Commandments. You gotta watch that every Easter.
Got to. Classic. Such a classic.
Such a classic.
Oh, man. Man, everybody stay safe, man. If you got an opportunity to get your COVID shot, do your research a little bit. See which one you think fits your benefits. Go ahead and get one. I got mine. I get my next one this Friday. Close it out and, you know, just stay safe, man.
Yep, I'm finna go get me 3 pounds of crawfish right now.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead and boil it. Put some seasoning on it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Give me 3 pounds right now.
Hey, man. Have a blessed Easter to you. Everybody else have a blessed Easter. Make sure you like, subscribe to YouTube channel. Follow us, Anchor. You know, we on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, any platform. You know, get us out there. You know, we out here grinding, enjoying the sports world so we can give you our feedback. And, you know, just have a good time on the channel, because, you know, clearly we do. And I hope y'all enjoy it, because
we on YouTube now.
We've been on YouTube.
Oh, I started being more professional. That's why you got all your professional stuff on. Okay, man.
Man, you gonna have to. You know
I ain't gonna step my game up. This is how it is. Get it how you live. Yeah. So dirty all day.
Untamed. Right? Untamed. Right. Mm-hmm. Hey, we love y'all. Appreciate the support. Like, subscribe. Hey, see y'all this upcoming week for the next episode. Peace.
Peace.